Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So, the guy, the bald guy without the balls, the guy, the eunuch.
That died, yeah.
That's the unwashed or whatever.
Yeah,
the,
yeah. No, the unsullied. Oh, Grey Worm.
For
the
a second, unsullied. I thought you were describing me.
Greg. Grey Worm. Didn't Pimlico have like a horse herpes outbreak that they had to like quarantine everybody?
This was not a horse herpes.
I'm almost positive that happened.
This was,
what happens in the stall stays in the stall. Yeah.
I got it. All
horse
right.
Herpes, Pimlico. Google.
My diet, based on the evening that I had, would consist of Cheetos, Mickey Mouse ice cream bars, and a Little Caesars pizza. Which, by the way, seriously, put some mozzarella and some tomato sauce on the floor mat in the back seat of your car, put it in an oven, and then put it on a plate. That's a Little Caesars pizza.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob, do you have the Game of Thrones theme song by any chance?
Do you mean this?
Look at that. Love it when he's prepared. That to me is a great start to the week when he is prepared. I didn't tell him anything that I wanted in advance. I didn't do my job and let him know.
Well, I heard this show was on last night. It was on TV.
I can't wait to talk about it because TV. It's just top of mind. And I come at this not from an opinionated point of view. I come at it from a late to the party, curious about the Game of Thrones.
What season did you jump in on?
43.
Okay, no, but you got it. You were in on it last year, right? Last time?
Yeah, I've looked at it over the years, but this season I watched every episode. Was it five episodes or something like that?
Six, I think.
I watched every episode. I got into it this season more than I'd ever. For the final season, I thought I'd track with this. And it's very compelling. And, you know, I was able to kind of critique it like everybody else, and I enjoyed it. But I am very curious because it did generate more buzz than really any television show in recent memory on social media. And then last night, the finale, which I got done watching. I have my opinions that I'll share with you, but I also was curious to see what the buzz would be, almost as much as I was curious about the show. I jumped on right away, and the initial reaction was not split. It was heavily negative.
Yeah. Just quickly, out of respect to the two people that would wait to watch the finale years later, which is basically 2 days in this world.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Are you saying it's a spoiler alert?
Warning.
The following is a spoiler alert. Specific plot points from a popular movie or television program are about to be discussed by Mike, Rob, and Oscar. Please advance ahead a few minutes on your device or turn the volume down. The spoiler alert begins in 3, 2, 1.
When is that?
I've been sitting on that for 3 weeks. We haven't spoiled anything in almost a month. Been waiting. Thank you, Jimmy.
Pardon me. Jim Amato, I love you. That is fantastic. That's why he is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Oh, my God. So the hatred
strong
that came. Oscar, you've been with it longer than anybody on the show.
You've been watching
that show all 8 seasons. You were aware, obviously, of the venom that was put forth on social media about Game of Thrones. A lot of people weren't happy.
Okay, I was one of them.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
all right.
I will list and before I list them, and I'll list them for you. I want to because I don't want to taint the room. No tainting.
Please, no taints. That's always been our policy.
Mike, you know, if you're going to do that, I should just give you my simple, I have like a one sentence reason that I think.
Please.
I think the people that hate it love the previous two episodes. That you can't see enough heads get chopped off. You can't get enough spears through the eye. You can't get enough throats cut. You can't. Like the people that love, and I saw the Red Wedding way back when.
Yeah.
And the Red Wedding was a spectacular.
That wasn't one of yours, was it?
It was no, it was not. Thank you, though. Thank you. It was carnage. And
it was.
I think they wanted. I think the people that like Game of Thrones want chaos and carnage.
Carnage.
They didn't want the warm and fuzzy. I personally felt fine. I felt all. I liked it that the that. Well, see, now that here's the real spoiler alert. So turn it down. I like the warm and fuzzy that so many people made it through the final episode. There you go.
May I offer one sentence before you, because you are the expert, and I only watched
just for this room.
I've watched maybe four episodes of this season, and because you guys encouraged me, and I wanted to see this finale because it was a big deal. To me, there was a couple surprises, but I found it slow. I mean, plotting really slow. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. No, because I was probably more invested in the characters.
I guess. I mean, the writing is good. The acting is
but
great.
But it was definitely mellow.
But
was,
mellow. Mellow chill. Is a great
it was,
word.
As Adam Sandler has said in the past, a medium pace. It was
a medium pace.
It was. Great salsa.
That'd be generous. Yeah.
A medium pace.
Yeah.
And this is why there's a lot of people that hate it because of the, as you just said, Mike, the happy ending wrapped in a little bow. We know where everybody's going.
Sure.
We are also conditioned to a world of, oh my God, kick to the nuts, punch to the teeth, season endings for multiple different series at the end where, you know, Breaking Bad, and like it's just all these endings that aren't necessarily happy. So when something happy comes our way, we're like, oh, this isn't Hollywood. What the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. They want death. They want carnage. They want Tyrion to get a spear through the head as he's stabbing Daenerys.
But you can't have a heavy, like, with a playlist. Let's talk about music. With heavy bass and a lot of drums, and all of a sudden you end on a ballad. And this season was a lot of bass, drums, and then boom.
Violence, yes.
A love song at the end, which if you're rolling on this roller coaster, and I would say the idea that Game of Thrones would end with the United Nations being created of Westeros, don't think that's really going to happen.
Can I give you my numero uno?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is my number one, and I'll since you watch more of it. All right. And this is the super spoiler alert of spoiler alert.
All right.
So turn it down. I'm warning you right now. If you didn't watch it last night, I'm sorry. Turn it down because I'm giving the key plot of it.
Right.
Oscar.
Yes.
Here's the biggest error in the plot. All right. There is no way with that dragon losing his mommy that he just grabs the dead body and flies away with Khaleesi.
Yeah.
There's no way he doesn't incinerate. What does he do? He incinerates the throne.
The throne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By
the way, the best effing CGI money could buy for that dragon sniffing his dead mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like an animal would. I almost got teary-eyed because I'm like, oh, no, this is it. This is it.
I'm pretty obsessed with the dragons, to be honest with you.
You think they should get a spinoff?
I think the dragon should be nominated.
But a comedy.
Yeah.
But speaking of spinoff,
like
you mentioned...
Like Three Stooges, but with subtitles.
You mentioned spinoff, Rob. You mentioned spinoff. I think that the finale sets the table for a variety of potential.
Of course,
of them getting back together. They're all alive. All of them are alive. Tyrion's alive. Sansa's alive.
The
blonde is
alive.
Jon Snow's alive. Well, the blonde had to die after what she did to the town.
So. Mike, you make a great point. You know what should have happened?
The blonde.
If we were writing these books and we were gazillionaires and we had no issues with calorie counts of daily intake, it would be we would have written a book or an iteration of the ending of this series that showed Jon Snow being engulfed in flames by the dragon and nothing happening to him. And
that snow doesn't melt.
Thank you.
Jon Snow, they didn't have the balls. They didn't have the balls to kill. They didn't have the balls to kill Jon Snow.
No. But I'm saying he would have survived like the White Walkers did.
Like as a zombie?
Yeah. So no.
The Walking Dead?
Yeah. So he would have like the Mother of Fire that was made of magic.
Hold on. I've got it.
Okay.
All right, he's the rightful heir to the throne.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So he's got that magic in him, right?
Yes.
And he came back. He came back,
from the dead.
Hold on. I got it. This would have been the greatest ending in the world. We would have been heroes. Oscar was on the right track. We could write this off. I'm so excited with this idea.
Yes.
So he is sitting there, and he carries Khaleesi in his arms up after he's killed her. She's gone. She's not coming back.
Right.
He's holding it. The dragon is just consumed with grief. And incinerates Jon Snow on the throne. And guess what? Jon Snow walks out of the flames.
Whoa.
Because he is the new king. He survives. He is the father of dragons.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So
obvious. Oh, my God. That would have been a good
ending.
And
the dragon bows.
Yeah.
Yes. The dragon bows. The end.
That would have been.
And then he jumps off. He says, let's go to Wingo's.
See you, brother.
He flies away.
But what did they do? Jon Snow, sad sack, goes up to the Alps or wherever. Goes up to the winter place.
And by the way,
it's the Blue Ridge Mountains, Mike, is where he
meets the caveman and goes out into the woods.
And are they banging now? Like, what's going on?
The two, the redhead?
Yeah.
The guy that does the commercials?
He's like, hey, I loved you in battle. Let's do this.
I know. And by the way, I didn't like the idea that they're not allowing Jon Snow to father children. Come on, you're not going to let that good looking guy.
You can't stop somebody unless they
bang.
Did, you know, what they did to that one guy. Also, and if you're not a Game of Thrones fan and you're not understanding, I hope you understand our passion and our love for this show.
No, and excuse me, the world is talking about this, and I understand why.
The world.
So, what about this? This is where we could have made a mint.
Yeah.
Is Jon Snow, and I'm not trying to one up you, Mike. Because I think you took my premise and made it better.
Your premise.
Made it better.
Absolutely.
Where Jon Snow is still holding Dany, the dragon, the mother of dragons.
Mm-hmm. Mother of dragons.
Yeah. And then, so the dragon is so incensed.
Daenerys.
He burns them both. Dany dies because she wasn't the true heir. And Jon Snow stands. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the dragon realizes, oh, you're still my papa. And then
But let me tell you, for the nerd nicks, that the knife through the heart of Dany is what kills her. Okay, she could have probably survived the fire.
Yes.
But if he walks out of fire,
that is, you know what? I should have left it where you left it, on the throne.
But I think, that would have been a 12.
I agree.
They got to be smart enough to come up with that. I can't believe we just did it sitting here on a podcast.
They should have changed the ending of the book to
right,
do that
Rob,
for TV.
Rob, you are labeling the show the better ending. Oscar and Mike write the better ending.
Yes.
Because this is a 12.
Yes.
This is a 12. If this had been the ending, and at the very end,
he flies away with the dragon.
He walks out of the fire. The dragon
bows.
As Oscar says, the dragon bows. He gets on the dragon. He flies off.
Yes.
I think the
key thing, the dramatic moment, is the dragon bowing to him. That's huge. Because not only is that a great symbolic gesture, that's really using the CGI for good.
Oh, yeah. Visually, you'd be like, whoa.
Bowing dragon.
Wait, hold on. I got another twist.
Okay.
All right. So in order to button it all up. All right.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't fly away. Listen to this. Okay. This is what happened. Oh,
this is great.
Okay. So the guy, the bald guy without the balls, the guy, the eunuch.
That died.
That's the unwashed or whatever.
Yeah,
they,
yeah. No, Unsullied. Oh, Grey Worm.
I thought you were describing me.
Grey Worm.
The guy with the bald guy that she made.
Yes.
The leader of her forces.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in after he murders Daenerys. So there is a witness. He comes in with a couple of his guys.
He has
right?
to see it. Yeah,
he
yeah.
has to see
yeah,
it all happen. It, yeah. And as soon as he sees it happen,
he knows it's game over. He's like, game over.
And then he says, free Tyrion.
Yes.
And everybody. And that's it. And that's how it ends.
There you go.
That's how it ends.
Yeah.
That buttons it up. There's no trip up to the Great White North.
No. He's
But also, Sansa does maintain the independence of the North.
Yeah.
She does not yield to Jon Snow.
No.
And so that sets up the potential for a future, you know, they're them against us thing. Oh, boy.
Or
oh,
them
boy.
Getting married because they're not brother and sister.
Yes. And
that
then,
would be some fantasy fiction, I think, that we'll find somewhere else.
And then Tyrion says, I am going on a long trip to the south where I will enjoy palm trees and beautiful women and I will drink Mai Tais and the kid in the wheelchair becomes the hand. The kid in the wheelchair becomes the prime counselor because he's seeing you're in the place you've always wanted to be.
Three-eyed Raven.
If we don't, and by the way, if somebody's come up with this or somebody's given it, which is going to be out there because a lot of thousands of people, I think this is great.
I have not read this.
I did not expect this coming into the show today, but that is exactly what happens. Jon Snow, the true father of dragons, he has the same powers.
Yes,
that Daenerys has,
and this
just has to know.
This is going to be blasphemous, but when Barry, which is not, it's maybe 1/10 the show of Game of Thrones on the radar of the world,
the Bill Hader show. Yes.
that was a crappy finale
but that kind of set them up.
But that's coming back. That's coming back next year, right?
Season finale.
Yes.
Was better than the series finale for Game of Thrones, in my opinion.
Well, I see now there's another one where I was late to the party and, you know, I didn't understand the whole scene on the stage. I didn't know whether it was that a real fight they were having on the stage.
No. She melted down. Yeah, she melted down. And she's the worst on the show.
I like the bald guy. I like the bald serial killer, the mafia, the Russian.
Oh, North Hollywood Russian guy. He's great. North Hollywood He's my favorite.
Russian guy.
Hello, Barry.
And I, you know what? And I have to get an impression of that other guy.
Fuchs.
Stephen Root is his name. Yeah. Stephen Root.
Love. Everybody get together, Jim. Anyway, lots of television.
Are we done spoiling now?
No, wait.
Because I have a closing element.
Let me add this.
Yes.
Isn't Brandon the Broken a bad name for a king?
Yes. Now you're selling me on, this has been informative. We've created a better ending.
Yes.
And by that, Bran, right? What's his name?
Brandon. I think it's Bran.
It's a terrible name. It's Jon Snow.
I think it's Bran, like the cereal, B-R-A-N.
Well, making him the king was a little silly.
Mike, he's...
Now I'm with the people that hated it.
He's my favorite sitting leader.
Okay,
it's
Bran the Broken. You're right.
Right.
Now, Bran the Broken. What I felt at that point is they had jumped the shark. Because while I think our society today is inclusive and it's open and it should be that way and no one should ever look at disabilities in any negative manner.
You think they were going for that? Is that what they were going for?
In Westeros, they're not playing that game. That tune is not on the radio.
No.
That tune is... They don't even have radio.
They don't even have radio. Yeah.
Goodness.
I think All right. Tyrion gets, we determine that Daenerys is evil.
Right?
She sends Tyrion to the quarters. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't execute him right away, which is what they did with Varys, or the bald guy, the bald eunuch.
Yeah.
They execute him within 5 minutes. Tyrion gets to spend, 6 nights in jail. So he's sitting there, and then he has the meeting and says, Tyrion tells Jon Snow, you must do this. You must fulfill your destiny. But then he says, my queen, perfect scene with the knife through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You keep all of that. Dragon comes in and goes, looks at this, and then doesn't have to be on the throne, Oscar. You don't even have to worry about the throne.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that.
Visually stunning.
They love the melting of the throne. They like that. But then the dragon burns Jon Snow up and he walks out of the flames as the true king, magic king.
Mm-hmm.
It's witnessed by bald guy. Yeah. The
Grey
super,
Worm. He unsullied, not a liar.
Yep, Grey Worm says the troops are yours. Everything we all come together.
Yeah.
He is the master of the universe, and then he doesn't leave. And they go on. That's how it happened.
He walks out. He sees his entire family. He tells Sansa, "Keep the North." Arya, take a shower, and then he moves on with life.
If we are the only ones, if we happen to be. If this idea, born out of the brain of Oscar and the brain of Mike, if this is what happens, this could be it, boys. This could be
our ticket. The one
this could
podcast
be our ticket.
That broke
yes.
out?
Pony. The one podcast. The podcast
radio
Mike O'Mara,
show that broke out?
Mike O'Mara's show writes the perfect ending.
Yes.
This has got to be a press release today. Mike O'Mara's show writes the perfect ending.
Agreed.
We can't have an internet connection.
No.
But we can do a lot of other stuff.
Great radio.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's
Pony,
it.
Type it up, mail it to ourselves in a sealed envelope, and hold up a picture of today's newspaper so we can timestamp it.
We did it. We
yes.
did it. All right, now you can play your element.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, play your element.
The preceding has been a spoiler alert. We now rejoin the Mike O'Mara Show, already in progress.
I never shortchange myself when it comes to the potential for a viral statement or a viral segment of the show. Jon Snow gets burned up by the dragon, walks out of the flames. He is the father of dragons.
Yeah, father of dragons.
You know, and you know, that was his evil sister who, you know, couldn't control her temper, mm-hmm. and that's why she got a knife in the heart. That's it. That's what it is.
And you roll on.
Can you see me okay, by the way? It's horrible. Oh,
yeah, well, we can hear you perfectly, Mike.
Yes.
But can absolutely you see perfectly. Me? Yes, we can see you as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Then I guess that means, you know, we not only have to fly to Hollywood and and audition for the writing staff of the next big HBO hit, but I don't think I could write Gentleman Jack, though, my new favorite show. You know, I just I have to be more in tune with the ladies that are in.
She is a very proactive lady, that lady on that show.
Yeah,
she
gets things done. Diaries of Ann Lister.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, very good. Well, TV, we could talk about TV because we're idiots like the rest of the country. Start the show. We're all sitting there.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Sir Braun of the Blackwater, Lord of High Garden, Lord Paramount of the Reach, and Master of Coin. Would you say the crown's debt to you has been paid?
In full, my Lord Hand.
Good. Time to start incurring a new one. We have hungry people to feed. Can we expect some assistance in this regard?
Indeed we can.
Lord Davos, we have an armada to rebuild and ports to repair.
We have. These projects will begin as soon as the Master of Coin and Lord of Lofty Titles provides funding.
The Master of Coin looks forward to helping the Master of Ships, but first he has to ensure we're not wasting coin, or soon there won't be no more coin.
Any more.
You're Master of Grammar now, too.
Grand Maester. It is my theory, based on my years of work on the costly rock sewers, that clean water leads to a healthier population.
The Archmaester has done some research on this subject, and it turns out...
The strong live and the weak don't.
Find the best builders and set them to the task.
Oh, speaking of builders, all the best brothels burn down. The Master of Coin is willing to fund reconstruction.
The Archmaester is less than enthusiastic about the salutary effects of brothels.
Well, I imagine he isn't using them properly.
I think we can all agree that ships take precedence over brothels.
I think that's a very presumptuous statement.
I once brought a jackass and a honeycomb into a brothel.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS to our friends. If you're new, welcome. Willkommen. If you've been with us the whole time, we love you. Thank you for your continued support, and we're glad we are in entertaining you, ladies and gentlemen. From Letterkenny, Ireland, to Steubenville, Ohio, from Solon, Iowa, to Marshall, Missouri, from Hawthorne, California, to Athens, Greece, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Free Fly. When you're running around outside and you feel like you're going to... No.
No, that's not it.
I'm sorry. When you're running around outside, the last thing you want to do is be in uncomfortable clothing that weighs you down. That's why you need Free Fly. Free Fly is designed for outdoorsmen and women who won't settle for uncomfortable clothing. I was in my Free Fly shorts all weekend long. Loved them. Butter soft bamboo fabric designed for perfect comfort. Honestly, it's like wearing nothing. And my neighbors say thank you.
You're welcome, ladies.
Perfect tops and bottoms for any outdoor activity. And Free Fly's bamboo fabric has natural UPF sun protection to keep you cool on and off the water. Free Fly is beautiful in its simplicity, with no bells and whistles, just great clothes. It's time to stop being uncomfortable, and we have to start wearing Free Fly's bamboo clothing. It's wonderful for you. Father's Day is just around the corner, so gear up for Dad. Plus, save room for Dad now. Plus, you can get 20% off when you visit freeflyapparel.com and use promo code TMOS. That's freeflyapparel.com and the promo code TMOS. I would like to have something out there just in case. Just in case, because I cannot poo-poo that wonderful idea that we had. I think that is a that would have been a 10. That would have gotten amazing reviews if we did that.
We will get that done today.
How is it that
I don't think we're alone. There's no way. It's too good an idea.
It's a great idea.
It's too simple an idea that I think when Oscar germinated that, I think people will.
And also what it's like my favorite thing. It's something that has like a 3-season lead up to it. You know, it's like the ultimate payoff for something that has that kind of run up.
It's easy to Monday morning quarterback this because they wrote the show. I imagine even the writers at the end, they're trying to be true to the book. We don't know the book, Mike, so...
Because we can't read.
Well, we're not willing to put in the time. I believe that those who read the book, while some people want the season recast, understand why this is all coming together. Those who didn't wanted a Hollywood ending.
Right. And I know the TV, and I also know... that the people that really get upset about this, I understand people getting upset about their art and their content. I understand that. But as far as the Magic Box, when you're talking about complete fantasy, it's much like when we discussed last week comic book movies.
Yes.
You know, it's fantasy. It's not real. And I don't want to lay a bombshell on this show right now, but, you know, when last I checked, We are flirting with potential of real war, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Real war of flames and stuff like that. But around this country, I guarantee you 50%, maybe more than that, of the people that are all up in arms about Game of Thrones probably don't realize that we're staring at Iran right now, kind of in a situation that could be really horrible. And I read a lot about it over the weekend. And so I worry about us sometimes because I don't think Americans realize, you know, they look at their shows. Everything's on that magic box. And if it's not on the magic box, they don't get it. So I get a little scared. Even when I was watching the fire and brimstone of Game of Thrones, I was saying, you know, when you see the charred bodies in King's Landing, you know, you could see charred bodies in real life and it wouldn't be fun. And so I worry about stuff like that because I'm always thinking, never off. Never off.
But no back off to the brilliant solution for the ending of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Do you think George R.R. Martin is going to see this and spit out his custard and say, damn it, this is what we should have done?
George R.R. Martin is the book author, right?
Yes.
Or mm-hmm. is he? Why do they always say DB? I don't know. I don't know if enough about it. Now we're getting in too much of the weeds.
All right, then let's pull back.
My brain is starting to hurt on Game of Thrones a little bit, but it's fine. It's a television show. Mm-hmm. Now I urge everybody to go on and move on to my next pick to click. Getting very, very great reviews, by the way, produced by the BBC and HBO. And that, of course, is the story of Ann Lister, the lesbian. They're saying the very first modern lesbian in the 1830s. And it is that show.
That would be her Game of Thrones name, isn't it? Like Lister the Lesbian?
Well, she's Gentleman Jack. That's her nickname. And she is spectacular. She's spectacular. You can't do what she's... You cannot have a show like that with that delicate a subject, and it's still delicate in this day and age, without having the brilliant acting ability and the way to communicate a lifestyle that some people might not be aware of and what it would be like, and she does a great job. So I am telling people, screaming from the highest mountain, and by the way, I don't know how they promote with HBO and all this stuff, but I'm certainly not seeing enough of her, especially when they're going into the next season. So I don't know whether they haven't re-upped it or what they're, but it's a 2019 show on the BBC.
Now with Barry out of the way, they can put all their focus on Gentleman Jim.
Well, have you looked in?
I've watched the first episode, yes.
Okay, and, so it really starts humming about episode 3.
I mean, but so, I can see where it's headed, and I love the look of it, and the acting is great. I mean, it looks like it's got that HBO thing where every episode looks like a major motion picture.
Yes.
It just looks great. So,
well, I hope everybody
unbelievable, but I'm sure it's a good show.
I hope now.
No, it's not believable like Game of Thrones.
Well, you know.
Well, when did the dragons come in?
I got
you
a very
mock because you don't understand.
I always have mocked what I don't understand.
Well, you like old. You like the past.
You should love this. It's based in the past.
Yeah, but not that far in the past.
What are you talking about?
What?
It's before we had old-timey movies.
No, Game of Thrones is
it's
too
medieval
old.
Medieval times.
That's too old. That's too old.
Game of Thrones isn't old. Game of Thrones is complete fantasy.
Yeah, but don't you get the impression that it's like the Middle Ages?
yeah, probably.
That's too long ago.
Yeah. But there is no time frame for Game
of Thrones.
You're
right. No, right? You're right. True enough.
It's a complete fantasy.
I figure it's when one of the pieces of Pangaea broke off, and that was Westeros.
Okay. As far as my show, Gentleman Jack, that's 1830.
Yeah, and I like that.
If you want to dive into that one, let me share with you. Do we have time to do this now? Can I do this and talk about the Preakness here for a second?
Yeah, I think so.
We have time.
Let me share with you. I'm out to dinner.
I didn't mean to disturb you at supper.
No, it's coming from dinner. I was either going in or coming out. I get a text. I get a text from Rob Spiewak, all right? Saturday, 6:45 p.m. Rob writes to me, "Boy, isn't Pimlico gorgeous?" He writes, "They might as well run the Preakness in my ass." Baltimore, hon.
Now that was
I am telling you that previously I had seen a television report on the Preakness and how it's running down, and
I didn't know that it was in bad shape, but it's always troubled me, especially it's only 2 weeks after the pomp and the grandeur of one of the greatest televised sporting events there is.
It's the trashiest of the Triple Crown.
By far. The Kentucky Derby is just such a wonderful thing to look at and behold. And then you've got, Third Eye Blind playing in the infield.
I've been to many a Preakness. It is trashy.
I went to one Preakness, and my takeaway is that I said, we must go now because this is no fun. And as we were leaving,
you like a good party. What was not fun about it?
It was hot. It was disorganized. There was a lot of screaming, a lot of bumping, and a lot of shirtless people. And as we were leaving under the tunnel that goes under the... To get to the infield, you have to go
the
under
tunnel, the... tunnel, otherwise known in racing circles, as the tunnel of puke.
Well, there was a gentleman returning a lot of Miller Lite as I was leaving. And I believe my quote was, aha, the sport of kings. It's horrible. And they couldn't even make it visually nice on television. They get to choose all the shots.
So that's what motivated your text to me. Tell me about what you saw on TV that motivated that text.
Well, Pimlico is an ugly structure. It was ugly when it was built, and it's ugly now. And the colors look like very 25 years ago. The infield looked a weird combination of crowded disorganization, but undersold. It wasn't as crowded as it normally was.
Okay.
And then they go to the show. You know, when you go to the Derby and you look and you see the men in their white suits and the women in their beautiful hats, what you see when they go to the grandstands in Pimlico, a lot of tube tops. There's a lot of tube tops happening there. And it's not the Derby. And it always pisses me off because I love watching the Kentucky Derby. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, we're going to do it again. And you turn it on. It's like, oh no! This isn't down there.
Nasty,
but
nasty.
Look, I agree with you. It's trashy.
It is.
But your reasons for hating it were all the reasons a young man in his 20s should love it.
I suppose.
Is it a young environment?
It's a young fit environment. Is what it is.
Right. Okay.
And young and fit was probably never part of Rob's equation, so he did not feel like he was involved.
I'm
or
not
accepted.
Sure anyone ever needed to bring up physical fitness.
You
in my
said
analysis.
It yourself. You said shirtless people, shirtless guys.
I had nothing to say about the fact that they were fat or skinny. There were just no shirts.
That goes for girls too. They're wearing bikini tops.
Yeah, and
they're
sometimes not even that.
Hey, you know what? When I hear no shirts, though, I think of cops.
Yeah,
I think of the TV show Cops, where the guys that
is there
don't
a NASCAR element to it? Yes.
And I have the other favorite element of when I went to the Preakness is that when you get about 2.5 miles outside of Pimlico, it's almost like watching the billboards for South of the Border, because everyone's in their front yard with a cardboard sign that's
parking.
You can park in my yard for $20. Come on, you park right here for $20.
So it's nasty looking.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's nasty.
It's a bad
looking.
I think a young Mike O'Mara would have enjoyed it. A young Rob did not. Not shocking.
I did not.
I loved it until I was about 30.
And there was no betting in the infield either. I wanted to place a bet, and there was no betting in the infield.
You boys remember when I took you on the tour of my former residence at the Willow Lake Apartments, where I had my phone stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lived at the Willow Lake Apartments, I had a party at my house that was not related to the Preakness, but about 15 people came from the Preakness with their jester hats. And came to my home. Chuck Dickman, my program director, came to my home, my apartment, for a little soiree after the pre. That's as close as I ever got. I never got up there to see it. I always thought hey, it's, you know, it's one leg of the Triple Crown. It's got to be kind of special. But you're saying not, not. And by the way, didn't a horse die there this weekend, too? Like the day before, a horse went down at Pimlico.
Well, I didn't hear that.
I think that happens every week.
No, it doesn't happen.
No, that's just on that
week,
HBO show where they were losing
all
the horses.
Didn't Pimlico have like a horse herpes outbreak that they had to like quarantine everybody?
This was not a horse herpes.
I'm almost positive that happened.
This was. Let me.
What happens in the stall stays in the stall. Yeah,
I got it. All
horse
right.
Horse herpes. Pimlico. Google.
Hold on. Let me see here. 3-year-old filly. Congrats gal collapses and dies after the Miss Preakness Stakes.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Unfortunately.
Could happen to any horse race.
And mind you, this is 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pimlico horse is quarantined for equine herpes.
Oh, he's right. There you go.
Let me read you the article I'm reading. It's been a tough start to the year for horse racing. Perhaps the worst development yet happened on Friday when a filly named Congrats Gal died on the track at Pimlico Racecourse. Just a day before the second leg of the Triple Crown, held at the same track, they hosted the 8-horse Miss Preakness Stakes. According to AP, the 3-year-old filly faltered in the upper stretch of the race and had to be eased to the finish line for an 8th-place finish, and the horse collapsed after the race and was quickly attended to by medical staff and taken off the track by an ambulance.
I can only imagine upper management at Pimlico on Friday saying, you know, this isn't going to look good.
Found another headline. I knew this wasn't in 2006. I don't pull that from 2000.
Right. You got herpes.
Equine herpes virus in Maryland. It says in Annapolis, Maryland. Dateline March 8th, 2018.
That's my birthday.
Test results on the two horses isolated in a detention barn in Pimlico for the two horses came up positive for equine herpes.
They were making out.
The horses were.
Nasty looking place.
It's not a classy joint.
From the Washington Post, ladies and gentlemen, the dire need of repair and renovation at the 149-year-old Pimlico Racecourse was clear as Preakness Day got underway on Saturday. On Thursday, 2 days before the race, a water main broke in front of the complex.
Oh, no.
Whether the repairs were inadequate or additional pipes burst on Saturday is unclear. But water pressure was so negligible on the fourth floor of the grandstand that those restrooms were closed in the hours leading up to the Preakness.
Oh,
a good time to close them, too.
No.
And lines for restrooms on lower floors were unusually long as the sunny afternoon of pre-race partying unfolded. Asked Saturday afternoon about the myriad of ways in which the facility seemed to be falling apart, Tim Ritvo, Chief Operating Officer for Racing and Games for the Stronach Group, which owns Pimlico, said, "It gets tougher every year to give the experience the customer deserves for an event like this. A pipe broke about 2 days before a race out front. We had one break 2 years ago. We go in and repair it, and I guess, well, they're telling me the engineers, the pressure and everything, takes so much time to build up, clogged, and it's just old infrastructure. We do everything we can to help keep up the level we can." There you go. So
it's a shame, Mike. It's just a shame we didn't see Pimlico when it was shiny and new in the 1850s.
Right. Exactly. By the way, it only needs $250 million worth of improvement.
Well, you know, a couple good rounds of track, we got that much money. Come on.
In hindsight, someone online should have made that same horse race with all the Game of Thrones characters and Bran the Broken wins.
Bran the Broken. By the way, War of Will is also the name I give myself when I go to a Krispy Kreme donut shop. That's what I do. War of Will.
And my last thought on the Preakness, Mike, you couldn't pay me enough to blow that bugle after that bugler blew it. But with all the herpes running around up there.
Yeah, horse herpes.
Horse herpes. Man, the worst. Man.
That's terrible. It's very scary. But, I don't know which was more exciting, the Preakness or Got Game of Thrones. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun right here on the bike. Alvaro, Sean, everybody.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Rates with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the abortion ban in Alabama. What does it mean for reproductive rights? Plus, how dangerous is the standoff with Iran? And that Democratic field, it just keeps getting bigger. We're going to help you think about it all this week.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hello, friends. This is Bode Express.
Bode Express.
Bode Express. What is Bode Express?
It's the horse that threw his jockey at the Preakness.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. This is Bode Express. Hello. You want me to do a horse?
Yeah, please.
Hello, friends. This is Bode Express. Perhaps you remember me as the number 9 horse from the past Saturday's Preakness Stakes. A lot of people have been coming up and asking me, hey, Bode Express, why'd you throw jockey John Velasquez and then start running the track like crazy? Well, the answer is clear. I needed to renew my Mike O'Mara Show bonus subscription, and there was no time to mess around. So I pooped on the track, threw my jockey, and got going. I knew there was free Wi-Fi in the clubhouse, even though there wasn't water pressure, and that's where I was headed. I had to throw my jockey because he's more of an all-things-considered guy, and ain't nobody got time for that. He was just slowing me down. This is Bode Express, a horse from the Preakness. You see, the Mike O'Mara bonus show is the 6th episode of... I can't do it anymore.
Buy the bonus show. Buy it.
Buy the bonus show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you didn't even see the highlight is that when the race started, number 9 actually reared up and threw the jockey? And so the jockey landed on his ass right in front of the starting line. And then the horse...
That's at the pewter mug.
And the horse ran the race without a jockey.
Yeah. I missed all of it.
It was great.
I didn't even watch it on TV. I was busy at the pewter mug, my new favorite joint.
The pewter mug, is that the name of it or a drink you had?
No, the pewter mug was the restaurant with the most delicious roasted chicken. You will eat the most delicious. You know, it's not just Paulie Christine that enjoys food.
Right.
Your boy went out there and this stuff was so great and it was wonderful and it was delicious.
The pewter mug sounds like it might be like an English pub. Does it have like an English pub feel?
No, it's kind of just the name of the place. Been around for a long, long time. And the only problem at this joint they have is that you go, you walk into the joint, you go to the right, and then you come behind the bar, and they're known for prime rib, and they're known for having a all-you-can-eat salad bar. That's kind of a throwback to the old days of a restaurant.
Like Beefsteak Charlie's.
That went out of business because they were too damn generous.
That's right.
And so the salad bar is very nice, and they have great homemade soups there, too. So you can really, you know, get a small entree and go to the salad bar, the whole tray, and enjoy yourself.
Load up.
The only problem with this particular restaurant, and it is a problem, is that when you go past the bar, there's a dining area on a lower level, and then 4 inches on a riser is a row of other tables. Now, apparently, the last restaurant was a seafood place, and they built it up with concrete, and I got to the detail of this later by talking to the owner, including rebar that rises up maybe 4 or 5 inches. And I hope I'm describing it accurately when I say when you go to this thing, it runs along about a 6-table row.
Okay.
And it's got a little bit of a lip there. And let me tell you something. We had such a great experience that I called a manager over and told him how much I liked this server we had, this young lady that was doing such a nice job. And I like to spotlight that as well as, you know, complaining if something's bad. You want to tell them when something's really
positive
good.
Positive energy.
Just so sweet and so upbeat and did such a nice job. And I started chatting with the owner and he was talking about the... this place and this lip that they have a new restaurant. They remodeled it, but they had this one little problem with this riser. He said he's going to put in booths. The reason I bring this up is that in back of us, another senior citizen came rolling into this restaurant and he took a header.
During your meal?
Right before we had our meal, he took a header.
That's so unsettling.
So it's just like, oh, I've been looking forward to this. I think I'm going to have the, Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Help me. And the guy tells me
that's jarring.
I said, well, how's it going? He said, in the last month, he has had a man fall and hit his head.
Oh.
He has had a man fall and break his hip in 3 places.
Oh.
And a lady fall and break her wrist.
Are any of these litigious people?
He is being sued by the hip guy, and he is not.
Oh my God!
The lady likes the restaurant so much that the wrist breaker said no problem at all. I think at some point you do put the yellow tape up. It is
something.
To the point. It is to the point where at this joint that I'm sitting there eating my little chicken, and I look, and this, you know, when you see the guys kind of shuffling in.
Yes.
God, I hope they told him. I hope they told him. And you get the veterans that have been in there, and I'm not talking about veterans of foreign wars. I'm talking about veterans of the restaurant.
Veterans of the mug, Mike.
And they know the mug. They know their way at the mug. And by the way, the soup was fantastic. The vegetable soup, absolutely delicious.
But there's no, I mean, after three injuries and a fourth that you witnessed, they've not even put down yellow tape?
Yeah, they, I guess, are working on it. But
build a ramp. Do something.
I would think if you got sued, you might be dealing with it. And so I'm. By the way, I'm raving to this manager, right, owner, about his service and his food. I'm telling him how we're regulars, that we're going to be regulars because we like it. And the guy says, yeah, a guy broke his hip in three places, and says, and he's suing me. And Carla, you know, does it, Miss Honesty 101, you know, she goes, I'd sue you too. You know, so it was kind
you
of.
You know, you have a problem. You continue to be there.
Yeah.
It was, let it be there.
It was, but boy, that chicken, man. Brined. They brine the roast chicken.
Let's brine.
You soak it in salt water before you roast it.
You soak it so it's ultra moist and. That's amazing. You know, it's not like Pauly Christine, who went to a Greek restaurant and posted all of his food that was fantastic. I'm sorry, Paulie, I put that up there. I can almost... I am so into Pauly Christine's food.
Do you think Paul
pictures.
Would see this step?
Maybe not. But he's a younger man. I mean, he's vital. But, you know, he showed me the moussaka, the rice pudding, the beans that they got. This man, if this was just him and his wife going out to dinner, this man eats. And his comment was, I wrote it down. I liked it so much. He said, Pauly Christine can go to a restaurant and eat like he's going to the electric chair. The man loves to. And, you know, Pauly, I'm here to tell you, keep posting the pictures because they're that good. They're that fantastic. I love it, love it, love it. And our little place, outside of the people falling. But it is really, if you look at it the right way, it's kind of entertainment.
So it's almost dinner theater?
It's jarring. It's like, if you see someone gets hurt,
I hate that.
There's a scene, call EMS, can I help? And then you're like, this food's going to get cold if I leave my seat.
Yeah, you spilled your soup.
That man appears to be 84 years old. He's making his way over there right now. And, oh, dear, he's caught his leg.
Oh, no.
He's caught his leg, and he's going down there. Oh, no. Another one. Bites the dust.
Better call Saul.
As he hits there. But it's great down here in South Florida. Everybody's gone. So, I mean, hi. Back to
a lot of them are in the hospital with broken hips.
But how about that lady with the broken wrist, right?
That's
the lady
nice.
With the broken wrist who
you don't,
chose
you can
not
eat soup
to.
With a cast.
And by the way, if you like your beef, too, your prime rib there and reasonable. You know, it's somewhere between... It's not as moderate as Outback, and it's not like a high dollar.
I'm picturing like in the day, steak and ale.
It's got that, and it's got that kind of old. Now the old place they had their building, they moved from a freestanding building to a strip mall, and the freestanding building was you walked in there, and if there wasn't food and tablecloths, you would think that you were in a funeral parlor. I am not exaggerating. The new joint has a bit of a nice vibe to it. The old place was like the salad bar looked like people that were waiting to not get romaine lettuce. They were waiting to shake hands with St. Peter. I'm not kidding you.
I love that funeral home vibe. I think that's nice. Makes me hungry.
They moved out of there. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun. And I want to tell you about a new phenom on the sports front that I think this guy's going to be a household name. I mean that sincerely. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. I can see you now.
Yay.
Okay, very good. All right.
Rob and Joe here. Joe, me and the girlfriend getting a little kinky, trying to spice things up in the bedroom.
You gonna have a safe word?
How does that work?
You know, if things go too far, let me give you an example. We'll role play. I'll be your girlfriend.
Ooh, fun.
All right. How about I tie you up?
Go on.
How about maybe a little candle wax?
Ooh, I like that.
All right. How about introducing some food? How about some strawberries? Mm, some
yummy.
Whipped cream?
Yes.
How about this giant cucumber?
Speedwax! Speedwax! Speedwax!
Wait a minute. How giant? Rob and Joe Show, new episode every single week. RobandJoeShow.com. Speedwack!
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Liquid IV is the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated, and I love it. Might have had a little too much fun on Friday night. I was living on Liquid IV on Saturday. Now that the hot weather is here, you'll be outside all the time. You need Liquid IV more than ever. Liquid IV hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and more efficiently than water alone, with an added bonus of, listen to all the B vitamins. You got your vitamin C.
Right.
But listen, you got your B3, your B5, your B6, your B12. That's a lot of Bs, straight Bs.
Yeah, you're going to be feeling better with all that hydration.
Liquid IV is the fastest growing wellness brand. You can find it everywhere, even Costco. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is sold at all Costco's nationwide. It's a healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks because it has no artificial flavors or preservatives. It's non-GMO, vegan, free of gluten, dairy, and soy, and it can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 25% off at liquidiv.com when you use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Start properly hydrating today. All right, so we talked about horse racing.
Yes.
And we talked about golf not as popular among people as it has been as far as participation. Mm-hmm. I think the TV ratings are okay, especially for something like the Masters with Tiger. But another sport that I've heard bad things about that, not as much traction is boxing.
Yes.
For a long time.
Agreed.
Since the Mike Tyson era, we've had Floyd Mayweather.
Well,
and people
unless
like
it's
that.
A Mayweather or it's some one of these prop fights that really don't make sense when you've got a UFC champion.
That's true.
Yeah, like the crazy stuff. But yes. Let me tell you about a name. I look in the other night. I just happened on it on Showtime's boxing, and there is this heavyweight champion, WBC heavyweight champion of the world. The guy's name, if you haven't heard it, you're gonna know it. Deontay Wilder, and he is fighting this other boxer named Brazil. I haven't seen a guy do what this guy did in the ring since the days of Mike Tyson, and I think this guy has enough charisma and enough personality, and he's a good-looking kid. I swear to you, I think this guy is going to be a superstar, and there's something to be said of any professional prize fight where somebody gets knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing to see when, are we doing okay?
We're looking great. Okay? Yes, yes.
Fine.
Okay. It's another thing to see when a heavyweight has a one punch knockout. And this guy, Deontay Wilder, was spectacular. And I think that because of, he's known as the Bronx Bomber. I think he's from the Bronx. He fought at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And this guy, it was, I haven't had a prize fight. The problem is, the next morning, because Mrs. O'Meara was asleep while I was watching this, and when I woke her up, I said, honey, I got a clip of this, and I got a clip of this guy, Deontay Wilder, with a one-punch knockout, and she's in the kitchen. She comes out, she looks at me, goes, excuse me, do you really think that I want to watch your boxing highlight? Do you really think? I said, honey, you got to look at this guy. His name's Deontay Wilder. Look, he's got that cool haircut, and he looks fabulous, and he's got this personality, and he's just so excited. And they didn't, and the guy Brazil didn't want to touch. She goes, stop. Do you really think I'm interested in this? I said, well, I don't have anybody. You know, my father's dead, so I don't have anybody.
What?
I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm not going to call Paul because he probably didn't watch it. I'm not going to call Rob. He didn't watch it. Oscar didn't watch it. I am frustrated. I want to share. I was so excited. This guy Brazil comes out and he doesn't want to touch gloves.
He's a complete dick.
Oh, he's a dick.
He doesn't want to touch gloves. So Deontay Wilder is just like, oh, that's going to really make him mad. And then he does the thing where it's like jab, jab, jab. Boom! Lights out.
The knockout is impressive.
Wow.
Isn't that impressive?
It's impressive, but also it's the buildup that you're like, this guy's not just going to go down. Yeah. So he knocks him out, and I agree with you, Mike. There is something we said about the style of which he knocks him out.
Right.
Because it's a buildup from the no touching of gloves,
right.
The disrespect, right. And then boom, bam, done.
So a perfect little vignette.
It's a story.
Yeah.
Like Tyrion Lannister said, we need a story.
Right.
Right. It's a story. We like our stories.
You think this is the second coming of boxing?
I think there's a potential there. I think there really is. Where are we on running time right now? Because my clock didn't start.
Oh, we're at 54 minutes. We should go about four or five more minutes before we break.
Oh, God. All right.
Is this a teachable?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
It's okay. Is this a teachable moment where you could, I guess, too young for Michael to get into boxing?
No, I don't want to watch him. You know, and by the way, he had a play date this weekend, and I've never seen him happier.
Oh, that's great.
Not that we don't do that, but he goes to other kids' houses, and we had this wonderful little boy, Donnie, his buddy Donnie, and they're perfectly matched, and I've never seen my son that excited. I wish it was something I could do for him. I thought when I built him the Lego pirate ship that it might be, this is in seventh tier level of excitement where he's up at 6:15. And
Donnie's coming over.
Donnie's coming over. And when Donnie came over, he ran out of the house, waited in the driveway for his friend Donnie.
Aww.
And then he says to me, as I'm putting him down to bed last night, he whispers in my ear, I said, Dad, can I tell you what the best part of my day is? By the way, as a parent, that's what you want to hear from your child when you're putting them to bed. When he says, Dad, can I tell you what the best part of my day is? I said, what? When Donnie pulled up in the car. And he was excited to see me, and I was excited to see him.
Aww,
you know, we're social. If there's any indication that we're social beings, it's
also
fantastic.
His emotional IQ as a little boy is through the roof.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is. And then, of course, when Donnie leaves, not Dante, that's the boxer. When Donnie leaves, you know, he goes into pretty much hyper prick mode. You know, which is the way it.
Well, when kids like hang out with their own,
it's like The Exorcist.
It emboldens them. They but I have a question. I mean, I've gone through the whole playdate thing for many years now. How is Donnie as a kid? Do you like Donnie?
I love Donnie.
That's great.
He's so sweet.
That's perfect.
They're nice to each other. There's a sweetness. And Donnie's mom came over, and she was a nice lady, and it was just it was cool. And this is kind of the future now, because they're going to be going to the same elementary school together, and I'm all about that.
Do we know if they're going to be in the same class for kindergarten?
Let me see. When last checked, Rob, the elementary school he's attending, there are 430 kindergarten classes.
So roll them bones. Good luck.
It's just like, which one are you going to be in? It's like, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new kindergartner coming into the 1,500 kids that are at the school. By the way, did we mention that there are budget cuts now? There will be 300 kids per classroom. Then you walk up to the kindergarten teacher, go, how'd your first day go? I don't know, but I just want to. I want to get home and have a Cosmo. I want to get home and have a Cosmo as soon as I possibly can. It's great to see your child happy.
Yes.
And I enjoy it.
Nothing
better.
I
even took him out to the driving range on Saturday morning at 7:30. And he'd swing and he'd hit the ball. And Daddy would say, that's a wonderful shot, Michael.
Yeah, you mentioned had a Friday.
I'd had a Friday following up the Saturday from the weekend before.
Sure.
Where, once again, it's hiatus time.
Oh, really?
It's hiatus time. Mm. It's time to take it's time to put the sheets out on the line and let them dry.
It's a bodily courtesy, Mike, is what it is.
It is a bodily,
a reset,
I think.
A reboot.
Exactly.
It's time for me to, look down squarely in the eyes of my liver and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be just fine. Everything's going to, because it's a combination of factors. It's not just going out and, having just a certain portion of the evening where you may have been talking about politics and you're not quite sure who you may have insulted.
I see.
But it's the, it's not the question of looking in the garage and seeing the lights on your golf cart that you didn't turn off when you came in. It's the idea of the next day. The inhibitions are so removed from your body. I was talking about Paulie Christine's food.
Yeah.
That he enjoyed at the restaurant. Hey, eat away. You're eating some quality homemade restaurant food there that looks delicious. When my diet, based on the evening that I had, would consist of Cheetos, Mickey Mouse ice cream bars, and a Little Caesars pizza. Which, by the way, seriously, put some mozzarella and some tomato sauce on the floor mat in the back seat of your car, put it in an oven, and then put it on a plate. That's a Little Caesar's pizza. All right.
That's just my opinion. Not so bad, though.
No, for the money and the convenience. And by the way, the charmer the charmer, you know, Leslie Jones, who works down at the Little Caesars,
yes.
who could not have been really. There's unpleasant, and then there's have I just walked through the door. Did I say something to piss you off? Because you're pissed at me for coming into your Little Caesars.
Oh yeah,
and then chewing on it, and you know, Little Caesars. Sometimes I think there are 7-Eleven pizzas that look at a Little Caesars pizza and go, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would take a frozen
opinion.
Pizza. I would take a frozen pie over a Little Caesars pizza, I think. I do not like that product.
Not fun. I, you know what?
It's cardboardy, but yeah,
it's cardboardy.
You're paying for cardboard.
I know, yeah. Oh, ye of, okay, Ina, chicken finger. Chicken finger Ina Garten over here. You know.
It's
you know
a $5 pizza.
Yeah. It is a $5 pizza. And
he's
I
not pleased
that.
With the flavor profile, Mike.
This is true. I ate more stuff, too, but I forgot what it was because my brain's mush. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Distinguished listeners, friends, the three principals of TMOS, and hi, Carla. As we gather to celebrate the class of 2019, I'd like to pass along some advice as you make your way in the world. It's important to laugh. Please take time to do that every day. There is an easy way to do that with a TMOS bonus package. It's an extra hour of hilarity delivered to your device every Friday, filled with ribald jokes and words like and it's an education unto itself. Simply put, it can help prepare you to put up with dip coworkers and fucking supervisors as you start your career path. Do yourself a huge favor and get a bonus show subscription today. And parents, if your graduate can't afford it, gift them a subscription. Graduates, go out and carpe camo dia. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dirk Vastrick.
That was a Jim Amato written and produced Dirk Vastrick voiced promo. Collaboration.
Dirk doesn't sound like he sounds on the phone.
I think the phone, maybe he uses a little more bass. I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
But you're right.
It should have been like this. Very into the high, Carlo. That's the way I thought Dirk sounded.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, Ring doorbells, Ring floodlight cams,
yes.
All the Ring great products. I'm bringing my Ring doorbell and a new security system up to Maine. I love it. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer by keeping you connected to your home from anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery, a surprise visitor, you get an alert and you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them. You know, little things like watching weather if you're in a different part of the country and you might have some weather moving through and you want to check on your property, you can use Ring for that too. Do it all from your phone, no matter where you are. Thanks to the HD video and two-way audio feature on Ring devices, you can even talk to the people at your door. Like, what are you doing? I have the Ring floodlight cam, so I can keep track of Maine while I'm in Florida. I check it 3 times a day. It's the best. It's a motion-activated security camera with a built-in floodlight, siren alarm, and two-way audio, so you can see, hear, and speak to anyone on your property from anywhere. I'm in love with it. I love it. Pro tip, get the protection plan. I did that. All of your Ring video is saved forever, and that equals peace of mind if there's ever anything hinky.
Hinky!
As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring doorbell starter kit. It's available right now. It has the video doorbell and the motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. One of my favorite clients. Start living safer today, and we thank you.
News!
Boo! You all right there, Rob?
Yeah, just having fun.
Okay,
we're excited about the connection.
That's it. Well,
shush! No.
Oh, no!
All right, here we go. We'll make it. Robert F. Smith is the founder and CEO of the private equity firm Vista Equity Partners. Last year, Forbes ranked him as the 163rd richest person in America, worth about $4.4
billion. Wow.
He is one of only 13 black billionaires in the world. This year, his fortune is up to $5 billion. A few months ago, he donated $1.5 million to Morehouse College in Atlanta, which is a historically black school. Then yesterday, they gave him an honorary doctorate, and he spoke at the commencement in front of about 400 graduating seniors. During his speech, he announced he was making another donation to pay off the entire graduating class's student loans. The crowd went nuts.
Of
I
course.
Watched the video. He announced it. It took a second for it to land on the students what he was really doing. It was almost like they thought they'd heard him wrong because it's a massive amount of money. According to one estimate, it'll wipe out roughly $40 million of student debt.
Wow.
And Morehouse College says it's the largest single donation the school has ever been associated with. Spectacular. spectacular.
Good for him.
He said he wants to put a little fuel in your bus to get started. That's what he said.
I wonder if he would speak at VCU in about 4 years.
Yeah.
That'd be great. We'll give him a doctorate.
Yeah. No donation made by the communications director for the National Gallery of Art.
Really?
Sorry about that. She was fine. Maximum security owner.
A story to tell.
Gary West. Gary West wants a rematch or something close to it. He just threw down the gauntlet for four other Derby contenders to the tune of 20 mil. He said if any of them beat Maximum Security in any race by the end of the year, he's willing to fork over $5 million, and they don't even have to win the race. They just have to finish ahead of Maximum Security. This guy's pissed. But if any of their owners take the bet and lose, he wants them to pay him $5 million, which he'd then donate to charity. It's not clear if any of the other owners like their chances enough to take him up on it, but the four horses he's challenging are Country House, who won the Kentucky Derby after Maximum Security got DQ'd, Long Range Toddy, War of Will, who just won the Preakness, and Bodie Express, the one that threw the rider. He probably chose those four because Country House was the new winner, and the other three are the ones Maximum Security was found to have interfered with. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. I don't think anybody's
going to take him up. He sounds not only like he was mad, but also he probably came up with the plan when he was drinking.
As we mentioned, had it on the show, real life Grumpy Cat passed away last Tuesday. Grumpy Cat's owner, Tabitha, of course that's her name, she made the announcement on Friday saying that Grumpy Cat encountered complications from a recent urinary tract infection that unfortunately became too tough for her to overcome. She was 7, which in cat years is, I'm not sure. According to Purina.com, the first 2 years of a cat's life are roughly equal to the first 25 of a human's. And after that, each additional year is around 4 cat years. So Grumpy Cat was maybe around 45.
About right.
45.
By that math, yeah.
Tabitha's statement also said, quote, Grumpy Cat has helped millions of people smile all around the world, even when times were tough. Her spirit was continued to live through her fans everywhere. Her spirit will continue, whatever. There is a real reason why Grumpy Cat was so grumpy. She had a form of feline dwarfism.
Oh, like a little cat.
And that, along with an underbite, gave her the perpetual frown that made her a sensation.
I'm just so glad that people aren't making too much of a big deal of the passing of this cat.
It's very sad.
It is very sad. And Mike, you told me on Friday his name, or her name, Tartar Sauce.
Tartar Sauce the cat.
Yes. Yeah.
Tabitha the owner, Tartar Sauce the cat, yeah. Grumpy Cat the name.
We wish them well.
America.
A new study out of James Cook University in Australia found there are three exercises men can do that will improve their performance in bed. I guess down there, you're playing.
Yeah.
Tighten up the muscles that hold your butt, like when you're trying to stop gas. Hold for 10 seconds, relax, repeat. Number two, this is a weird one, testes retraction. Use your muscle to try to draw your testes up towards your body. Isn't that the same as fake flatulence? They seem to be the same muscles.
Mike, as a show, I think we should issue a testes retraction today.
Yeah. Number three is pee stoppage.
Ooh.
Try to stop your flow midstream while you're peeing. All right, I'll do that.
But only in a crowded stadium.
Yeah.
If you're at the Preakness.
Be respectful.
Yes,
thank
please.
Thank you very, very much. Flying isn't exactly a pleasant experience at this point. The flights cost more than ever, and the service is worse than ever. According to a new survey, flying is now our least favorite way to travel, and the average person would rather drive anywhere within 6.5 hours to avoid getting on a plane.
Wow. Mm, damn.
The survey also found that the majority of people are planning to do more road trips in the next 5 years than they did in the past 5. So there we have it.
I hate driving.
I don't mind it so much if it's not a long drive. And besides, when you get there, you have your car. You don't have to rent a car. You don't have to fool with parking at the airport. There's a lot of that you deal with.
Yep, that's why I drive to Maine. No, I'm not doing that again this year. No, not going to happen. And now a little something. The security system at a bar in Lincoln City, Oregon, called the Beach Club, picked up some activity around 3 a.m. on Thursday. You getting me? You hearing me?
Yeah, we heard perfectly.
Rob, look at me. I don't know what you keep looking at, but you're driving me out of my mind.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Is there somebody out there on the other side of the glass?
I have no idea. I'm looking at you.
Okay, thank you. When they got there, they found at the bar, they found a 31-year-old guy named Jason McIntyre inside. Apparently, he'd been in the bar drinking that night and was shutting down. He managed to hide until the employees closed up and left. Once he had the place to himself, he got back to drinking. He was arrested for burglary and theft. I just want to say to him personally, I understand you. I really, really understand you.
I truly do.
These are my people.
Yeah. Never want that party to end. Can you tell I had a Friday night? Can you tell that? We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault. Rob Spiewagon. We can see each other right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on The Real Interns of Podcast Village.
It's me, Dahlia. People seem to bask in the fact that I'm the bitch turn, but the real gem of this office is Johnny the Dim Turn. I saw him try to tie his Velcro shoes, and then he asked me if people listened to the recordings that we make. When I said yes, people listen to TMOS, he then asked if people listen to the recordings that he makes on his Voice Memos app. As I said, Dim Turn.
Follow the interns at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. As Casey Kasem used to say, as the numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger. But as the number of TMOS live tickets we sell gets bigger, the chances of you seeing the show get smaller. Holy crap! You gotta act and act now! You do not want to miss the TMOS live 10th anniversary party. First one sold out. Saturday we got tickets left. This year is going to be unbelievable because we've added a second show on November 16th. So if you missed out on the first sold-out show, now's your chance. And if you want to see both shows, even better. The TMOS 10th anniversary party, so big, we need two nights to do it. Two entirely different shows, two different nights at the Zappos corporate headquarters in downtown Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now at MikeOMaraShow.com. So keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for our website. And as Casey Kasem would say if he were here, let me out of this box. Get a shovel. The TMOS 10th anniversary party brought to you by Zappos. You got me. Let's open up the audio vault. Everything all right?
Everything's great. Asking
the aces,
great.
Daddy-o.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Very except good. For the Vegas music. Sorry about right. that.
Thank you.
All right. Good, good, good. Now, audio vault, you mentioned it in the pregame, I believe, but I have the tape. Did you see Arnold get his flying sidekick over the weekend?
No.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe
this.
He got
kicked in the middle of the back. It was amazing, Rob.
We have this video up at the Mike O'Mara Show Facebook page. He was in South Africa. It looked like some sort of health workout summit or something.
Right.
And he was being very cool, Arnold, on the side. And you can almost hear him talking and taking the selfies. And a guy runs up behind him and does, they called it in the piece, how do they call it? A flying drop kick.
Yeah,
where he
horrible.
Came,
could really hurt him.
It really did. Now, he says his response was he thought he had just been jostled by the crowd.
Thought he'd been bumped by the car.
But I don't believe that because he hit him hard enough to knock him down. Here's the audio of it.
Why would he do that?
And then the guy starts screaming.
No, 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 no.
Help me, I need a Lamborghini, the guy is saying.
Very, very odd. But anyway, it was just weird. And also,
violent.
It throws me because I forget Arnold looks older now. So it's a little bit of that pewter cup thing. You don't want to see an old person fall down.
By the way, PGA Championship over the weekend. Way to go. Stay classy, New York. You know, just...
What
really nice job.
What
just
happened?
Screaming like before the guy finished his backswings.
Oh.
You know, when they go outside of the ropes and with an errant shot, it was like.
You know, they're not that far away. They should have gone to the Preakness.
Yeah, New York.
Now, Jack Black seems to sometimes just duck his head in at the right times. Over the weekend on his Instagram feed, he released his recording of the theme of Game of Thrones.
In a Jack Black way.
And I love the fact that, you know what? That takes talent. He really is a talented singer to be able to do that.
Yeah, he can sing. Yeah. He's funny. Yeah. I love that.
But I also, Mike, as a throwback, I knew that if I played that, you'd want to hear this.
Stone Phillips, more than meets the eye.
Which he actually sang to Stone Phillips.
You know what it is? It's you know, there's so many DJs that do those horrible hack parody songs.
Yeah.
And he just does it in a way that's so over the top jive that it makes it funny.
I think he goes so far that it almost reinstalls sincerity to it somehow. That's a hard thing to say.
In a weird way. I know. I know what you're talking about.
So you're in Canada. It's summer. There's no snow on the ground. What do you do? You say, I'm going to take my snowmobile and try to drive it over the top of a swimming pool. Do I have that much speed that I can do?
Oh, no.
The thing is, I'll play you the tape, and this is also on our Facebook page. He makes it across the pool. It's when he hits the concrete on the other side of the pool that he flips. But my favorite part is not that. It's the joyous reaction of his friend who was watching him.
Oh, man. Oh, crushed you good, eh? Oh, did it ever hit you good?
Yeah.
Oh man, full tunnel right on top of you.
It's quiet, but if you want to replay that, what the guy says is, yeah, it hurts, eh?
Yeah, it hurts,
eh? Real bad.
Yeah. S and or beer, eh?
But that's not so bad because just his friend saw him flip the snowmobile. That's not as bad as the graduate student that was going to do a backflip on stage.
Oh.
Did not do it. Landed on his face. I just like the reaction of the crowd.
Putinami Dimitri.
Way to go. Way to go, Slick. You had to make it a little more about you.
Here's the deal. Go up, get your piece of paper,
and get the hell off the stage.
That's it. No flips. No flips. Yeah. Right. Otherwise, it's going to sound like this.
Idiot. Can you imagine? God.
That reaction was great. I love that.
So there's a dog walking app. It's called WAG.
Yeah, I've used it.
You've used it, yeah.
Yes.
And that's great if you're out of town, you want to have someone come in and take care of your dogs. But also, you know, some people love their dogs so much they have doggy cams that they can observe their dogs. When these pieces of technology collide is when you realize that the dog walker you've hired has brought her boyfriend over to your house to have sex naked on your couch. And you're observed on the dog watching app.
Ew! So, saw the video.
Beware of this, yes.
On the preview of the alert, it showed a man in our house, someone that I wasn't expecting. So I opened it up, and that's when I saw that she was there with a man in our house, and they were going straight for our bedroom.
She believes that you were having sex in both of the bedrooms.
It's okay that she believes that that's not what was going on.
Oh, to liar. See, don't bring a dude into the house, biatch.
It got hot, and as I said, I don't like wearing clothes. And I feel terrible about it. It was not something I did with intent or with malice.
It's not anything I did with intent.
Yeah, or malice.
Or malice, no.
You just did what you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to walk their dogs and leave.
Well, it's hot, so you want to get naked and
go
into their bedroom.
Are you on the clock during that time? Because WAG charges you by the walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's nasty. And she was nasty.
She wasn't on the clock. Mike, you're handling it rather well.
Yes.
The big announcement that we got last night that I know it's hurt me, it's hurt Oscar. Steve Croft is leaving 60 Minutes.
After 50 years in journalism, 40 years at CBS News, and 30 years at 60 Minutes, I've decided to retire.
What throws me about that is that he, to me, is still a new guy on 60 Minutes.
He has the most tenure there.
He's the longest standing anchor, 30 years.
It's been a difficult decision, one that I've considered at the end of each of the past four seasons. Now feels like the right time. There are still some things I'd like to do that I haven't done. I'm not getting any younger. I want to leave while I still have all of my marbles, the energy to enjoy life, and the curiosity to pursue some different things.
Anyway, so I wish him well. I like that show still. I watch it every week.
Safe travels, Steve Croft. Way to go.
But you're holding on. And now,
I loved his reporting.
That means that Scott Pelley moves up as Mr. Excitement one more notch.
I don't care.
All right. On the Sunday Today Show, Willie Geist had a pretty good score. Obviously, David Letterman is really, really, really pressing the second season of his interview show because Letterman doesn't do the Today Show, but Letterman did the Today Show. And
what's our running time right now, by the way?
We are just, this is the last tape. We're at 118, roughly.
Okay, so, just checking. Okay.
Willie Geist asked him a question that's on everybody's mind, and Letterman was ready for him.
So tell me more about the beard.
Well, you tell me about your toupee. You know, I've been waiting.
You went right to it.
I've been waiting to use that line for 4 years. I wish I had a story. It started out I was just tired of shaving, and then now I'm afraid to see what's under there. So you know, there it is.
Funny.
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Not a statement, not a protest.
Nope. Initially, it was just pure, I'm tired of shaving. I wake up and I forget that I have it, honestly.
The thing after watching the entire interview, Dave, for the first time in his life, seems happy. It's so good to see him look happy. So
that's nice.
All that's online if you want to check that out, because I know you didn't watch the Willie Guy Show on Sunday morning. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Very cool. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeOmaraShow.com. Our Yak Shack always open, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE. 6673. 888-920-6673. And get your tickets to our second live show. Still tickets available for that. They are going fast. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your best support, your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is Natalia. She's my sister. She is number four prostitute in all of Kazakhstan. Nice.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to sail her by.
Goodbye, dude.